You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, throw in whatever sexual other you want to add to that. It seems to keep growing. We are on the other side of that issue, and we are in part two of our interview with David Kapelian, who's a man I admire. He's the editor of managing editor of WorldNet Daily. He's the author of two books. His latest is How Evil Works, Understanding and Overcoming the Destructive Forces that are Transforming America. His first book, which got wide acclaim, is called The Marketing of Evil, How Radicals, Elitists, and Pseudo-Experts Sell Us Corruption Disguised as Freedom. Welcome back, David.
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you again.
Well, we are pre-taping, and we are taping on Wednesday, March 29th, and this will air Saturday, April 2nd, a day after your presumably wonderful talk at the Truth Academy. So I'm just going to take it on faith that the talk was outstanding, and I'll, congratulations for that great talk, David.
Well, thank you very much. I feel like I'm in a time warp.
If it were only that easy, right? You don't even have to do the talk, per se. But anyways, this will air after our Truth Academy, and so we'll talk all about that and on our last interview next time. But, David, we spent a lot of time talking about Alfred Kinsey, and he's one of your pseudo-experts, and I just can't get enough of that story, and I'm so glad that WorldNet Daily is out there. And why don't you tell us about, I mean, give a plug for WorldNet Daily. What are readers missing if they rely on even not just regular media, but sort of, I would say, kind of like the secular conservative media? WorldNet Daily takes it further. They've covered just a lot of stories that nobody else goes deep on.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is that in the modern age, conservatism has kind of morphed into libertarianism, which basically means conservatism without God. And so a lot of the even conservative media or alternative media and so forth, they're good on the economy. They may be good on the dangers of radical Islam and so forth, but any of the so-called moral issues that have to do with sex, you know, abortion, gay rights, they either get it wrong or they just simply don't deal with it at all. And so WorldNet Daily is still kind of old-fashioned. We believe in being independent and telling the truth regardless of who it helps or hurts. And because I think that's what people want. People are too busy, making a living and taking care of their families to go and research everything themselves. They want to have a good filter. They want to have a professional news organization that's got a worldview that's pretty close to theirs. And we're all professional, experienced, mainstream journalists, but pretty much, I would say, with a pro-American, pro-traditional values worldview. So that's the filter, if you will, that we're coming through. And given that, we're covering really all the jugular issues of the day, including the ones that are not covered by others, like the homosexual issue, the Islamic issue in terms of what's happening in this country, which many conservative media, like Fox News, which I love, they don't do much with the dangers of Islam in America. It's a little too hot.
And they don't do much. I mean, they've done some wonderful stuff on the homosexuality issue, but they have become increasingly politically correct, either neglecting stories or sometimes even, in the case of the libertarian guy who's on at the late night, the Judge Napolitano, he was agreeing with Obama in some respects on DOMA, on Obama's non-enforcement of the Defense of Marriage Act. So you see Fox trending in a very bad way on this particular social issue.
Well, I just think on this particular issue, for the most part, with some exceptions, they don't touch it. They just don't deal with it.
And let's give praise to where it's due. Joseph Farah, your boss over at WorldNet Daily, does a wonderful thing in not shying away from these issues. And I was amazed to see him take such a leading role on Go Proud. He didn't have to do that. And that's what I said last week about you. You didn't have to. And I really think you didn't have to expose the homosexuality issue in your books. And I don't mean to make you a martyr or anything, David, but the reality is, as we've talked about, many conservatives these days are sort of asking that question. Do I really need to touch this one? You know, I don't want to be targeted by those vocal gay activists. I'm just going to let it go. And you didn't do that, and I appreciate that.
Well, you know, you mentioned Go Proud. And that was a very interesting issue, Peter, because we had a public sort of falling out with Ann Coulter over that. I mean, we're still friends. She's still, you know, her column is still on WorldNet Daily and so forth. But we had a lot of heat on us from a lot of so-called conservative websites, talkers, and so forth. And it turned out we were vindicated. We were right and they were wrong, and they all know it now because Go Proud ended up the big issue was GoProud being a part of CPAC, and it practically destroyed CPAC. And CPAC has since decided there ain't going to be no GoProud in the future because you had major, major groups like the Heritage Foundation and Family Research Council and Concerned Women for America who said, we're not going to participate in the premier conservative gathering for the past 20, 25 years. We're not going there anymore because of this. Mm-hmm. And this is what we made an issue of, and so even though we got a lot of ridicule at the time, the events have proven that WorldNet Daily was right on this.
Right, and it's called principled conservatism, and it always is going to butt up against some sort of a politically correct or trendy issue. You guys also, you've caught so much flack, it's not funny, for what critics pejoratively refer to as the birther issue. Now you have Donald Trump going out and demanding Obama to release his birth certificate. I mean, I think it speaks well of WND that you guys you hang in there, and it really speaks well of the editing team over there that you don't buckle to whatever is trendy, including in the conservative, so-called the conservative movement.
I think, Pete, we're just like basically you could say, I consider myself a Reagan conservative. And a lot of people are now saying, hey, Reagan said the stool had three legs, national security, economy, limited government, and social morality, traditional values. And they've kind of cut out that last leg there. And we know what happens to stools that have two legs. They don't stand up very well.
Yeah.
So that's the danger. This is why I admire your group, because you're fighting a lonely battle, and the fact is that this issue, your single issue, okay, is it's one that's easy to avoid because people are intimidated by it, they're afraid of it, they're afraid of being boycotted, they're afraid of being called haters and bigots. They think it's a lost cause because it's too far gone, so why expend capital on it? They've bought into the gay gene theory. There are a lot of reasons. They have a friend, or if they're in the media, they have a producer who's gay. There's so many reasons for them to back off of it, but the point is that it really and truly is a critical issue because even though, me and WorldNet Daily, we're over all these different issues, all the major issues of the day, but even with really anti-Christian movements like, the far left, which is basically atheistic, and radical Islam, which of course is very anti-Christian, it's the gay rights movement more than anything else, more than those things I just said, that have the leverage, they hold the levers of power to criminalize Christianity, which is happening. Because the thing is that their worldview, if it gets codified into law, cannot coexist with traditional Christian thought. It's like you can't have them both occupying the same space. Either there's something wrong with homosexuality, or homosexuality is exactly the same as skin color or gender, in which case, if you oppose homosexuality for any reason, you are a Nazi, a Ku Klux Klansman, an anti-Semite, the kind of people that we don't dignify in polite society, people
right.
that are off the edge of civilized debate, that are pariahs.
Yeah, in order to justify the censorship, Right now, they're doing private censorship with like Apple and the iApp, the app to the phone. In order to justify the censorship, and they will go public, they will use the government to do it, you have got to demonize. You've got to do a good job of demonizing. You've got to make it seem like we're the KKK, because those are the kind of people who Americans don't mind pushing to the side. And so it's very interesting. It's almost their whole strategy of this censorious approach that so many on the homosexual side, the activists have, it necessitates the incredible demonization, this redefinition of hate.
That's right. And, you know, Pete, I kind of see it as a two-prong or two-faceted problem. It's demonizing Christians, you know, demonizing critics, most of whom are Christians, is a tactic. It's probably the most powerful, prevalent tactic that the gay activist movement uses to advance its agenda and to silence dissent. But there's another facet to it, which I write about somewhat, and that is that even if they never thought of it as a tactic, the demonization of Christianity would happen anyway with them, because the way I see it is this, you know, just briefly, we all have a conscience, okay?
35 seconds, and we'll have to go to the break.
Okay, conscience is from God, okay, and it tells you right from wrong. Well, if there really is something wrong with homosexuality, then those people that defend it are actually going against their own conscience, and they can submerge that conscience, but what happens when it pops out in you or me or somebody else and starts talking to them? They hate it. They hate us just like they hate their conscience. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's a deeper look at it. You're absolutely right. We're talking to David Kapelian. He's the author of How Evil Works. You can get that at WND, their superstore. How Evil Works, WND.com. We'll be right back. Everybody, and welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. This is pre-recorded. It is airing after our second Truth Academy, and one of our speakers is, or was, David Kapelian, who's the managing editor of WorldNet Daily. He's also the author of How Evil Works and The Marketing of Evil, two wonderful books. They are available at the superstore at worldnetdaily.com, or I suppose Amazon as well.
Sure.
Yes, and buy these books. Teach these books to your children. Share them with as many people as possible. These are very important works. And David, you're talking about conscience, and this is something that's so important, because this issue is not just a political issue. It's an emotional issue. It's a spiritual issue. And there's a tendency, I'm afraid, in Republican politics and just politics in general, that everything is political. But you're talking about something much deeper than politics here.
Yeah. I mean, conscience is a great gift from God. If somebody steals from you when you're a little kid, you know it's wrong. It's not just because you had the Ten Commandments on the wall or some Sunday school teacher said stealing is wrong. You know stealing is wrong. It's obviously wrong. It's not from culture. It's not from teaching. You could be a little cannibal kid and somebody steals your meal. You know, it's still wrong. It's something. So the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not steal, lie, commit adultery. We all know, kind of organically, it's in our genetic makeup, you might say, our spiritual genes. We know it's wrong. So what I'm saying is that there is an ick factor, if I can use that term, in like the two males kissing on the Glee show recently that got so much publicity. Most people look at that. People that are not corrupt, they look at that and they say ick. Something weird. There's a slobbery, male on male kiss, full slobbering mouth kiss.
God wants us to have an ick factor for that.
That's exactly right. It's a protective thing. It's something. It's like, you know, you put your hand on the stove. It's hot. You pull it away. We're supposed to have this little warning mechanism. You know, keep away. That's weird. Well, you know, some people, because, you know, we all have the capacity to be drawn into dark forces we don't understand, and it happens to all of us, okay? So if you get drawn into homosexuality and the initial, you know, revulsion that you have toward it eventually turns into acceptance, which is, you know, much easier to happen now that we have all of society validating it and saying how wonderful it is and celebrating it, now you've sort of effectively submerged your own conscience. Because everybody, including homosexuals, everybody, every child of God has this internal factor, this conscience. Mm-hmm. What conscience means, it means with knowing, conscience. We know right from wrong without anybody else telling us. And so my point is that if a, you know, a homosexual person that's in the grip of that is able to sort of suppress his own conscience, okay, then if they have somebody like an ex-gay ministry that puts up a billboard and says, hey, are you gay and unhappy? We can help. That could be the kindest, gentlest message with the kindest spirit. But if that you know, sort of hard-hearted homosexual sees that, it's his conscience talking to him from the outside. He submerged it on the inside. But here it is, and or Peter LaBarbera or Joseph Fair or somebody else that stands up and says, hey, there really is something wrong with this. Not just because the Bible says so, not just because Leviticus or Romans says so. You know, it's some conflict inside yourself. If they don't want to deal with that internal conflict, they're going to lash out at the person on the outside who's saying the same thing that they are fighting on the inside. The conflict is the whole hate labeling of Christians is not really against the Christian. It's against God. It's. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to sound too highfalutin here, but it really is an inner conflict. And they're projecting it outwards when somebody says something that they really know is true.
But there's also a factor here that's so interesting, and it's a sort of a selfish imposition on the culture. When you say, when the person, whether it's, you know, he's a sort of a victim of manipulation, or everybody at some level is responsible for their own behavior, but when you're demanding that society recognize homosexuality, then you're really forcing the whole culture to lie. And so you have I heard, you know, once a story about some a lesbian couple at Motorola, and they were, you know, they were adopting a baby, or it was through artificial insemination or something. And the sense I got was that all the coworkers of these people were sort of lying, in the sense that they were affirming out of politically correct sense, affirming this, quote, family, as if it were like any other employee having a child. But it's not, David. It's something completely different, and it's wrong, and a child is not meant to be brought up without a father or by two, quote, mommies. And yet it sort of forces everybody else to embrace this lie that the individual is embracing.
That is absolutely the truth. That is the terrible irony of this. I was doing some research for one of my talks there this weekend that I already gave. Or did I?
and it was a darn good talk.
Yeah, and you know, the actor Ian McKellen, who is a, you know, he's a great actor, but he's not a very good Bible reader. He likes to tear out the page.
Well, tell the story. Tell the story. This is amazing.
He when he stays in a hotel, he reaches for the Bible in the drawer there, and he tears out Leviticus 18, I forget the exact verse.
He tears out the passages against homosexual sodomy.
Yeah, you know, do not lie with men as you do with women. It's abomination. That's pretty close. He says he just can't stand having that anywhere near him. And so I was reading about him, and he's saying, you mentioned about the pretense. He resents, like many homosexuals in the past era, where we're all in the closet, he resented to have to pretend. And I understand this is a conflict, because they have this attraction. They're attracted to the same sex, but their whole social life, their sex life, their social, whatever, love life, whatever you want to call it, they have to keep private. So he says, we have this whole series of secret words and secret knocks and secret handshakes and secret, because it was something they had to hide from the larger society. So naturally, they kind of resent that, having to live with this pretense. So now, fast forward, what happens with this normalization of Christianity, excuse me, of homosexuality? I wish we could normalize Christianity. The normalization, which, by the way,
we need a campaign for that.
Yeah, it doesn't just mean that, okay, it's accepted. They've had that for a long time. They're, you know, right. Gay has been out of the closet and fine, and everybody knows that Hollywood is dominated by it. That hasn't been the problem. It's when you're forcing it on people, you're forcing five-year-olds to stop believing their own conscience, their own ick factor, and instead you're saying, listen, it's totally normal for these two princes to marry each other, or for Heather to have two mommies.
But David, isn't it even worse than that? I'm looking at a book right now, Daddy's Roommate, where the key line is the two daddies with their arms around each other, and the caption at the bottom is, being gay is just one more kind of love. They're racing to get to convert that conscience before the kid's conscience is even formed on the issue.
That's right. It's the first part is they're making everybody pretend. Everybody has to pretend it's okay because they are all intimidated by this, even if deep down they think, yeah, it's kind of icky, but it's not for me, and maybe I'm judgmental and being bigoted. Maybe no, so they doubt what that ick factor really means. They don't realize it is something from God because there actually is something objectively wrong and perverse about this. But, yeah, ultimately they want to confuse people, not just where you're pretending and you're afraid to speak up, but you still know what's right and what's wrong. They actually want to confuse people, starting with the youth, because they're the most malleable, into growing up and believing that this is perfectly normal. And the problem, not only is that terrible to do to a child, but that also turns them against the religion that really is the foundation of this country. Because, as I said before, they can't coexist. If you're going to believe it's perfectly normal for a man to marry a man, okay, then somebody who comes along and says, listen, I'm a Christian, I believe there's something wrong with this, well, that child is going to believe that this is a bigot and a Klansman and a Nazi. So it's a very, very dangerous dynamic they're playing with, you know, and so that they can be comfortable in their sin and sort of make everybody else be quiet and to quiet not only their own conscience but everybody else's conscience, so they can live in their lifestyle without being bothered by their conscience. It necessitates basically brainwashing everybody else.
Yeah, it's not
a good thing.
It's a yes, and it's very dangerous. And you talk about it in your book, and you quote Paul Rondeau, who's a marketer. He's wrote a book called The Marketing of Homosexuality, and he quotes Kirk and Manson. It's in your book, The Marketing of Evil, which again I encourage people to get. Buy this book at WND.com or Amazon.com. Rondeau quotes Kirk and Manson. Now they're the ones. Sorry, I went off the mic there a sec. They're the ones. That have written the book After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 1990s. And these are two homosexual men. One has died at a young age, probably due to his lifestyle. But one of the key points is desensitization, David, and that's exactly what you're talking about. Kirk and Manson, here's a description in the book. Desensitization is described as inundating the public in a, quote, continuous flood of gay-related advertising presented in the least offensive fashion possible. To go on here, the main thing is to talk about gayness until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome. Boy, if that's not prophetic, that was written, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah.
It worked to a T.
Right, and the perfect example, again, is that the kiss between the two young teenage male stars on Glee, which is watched by millions of young people. The more you watch that, let's say you had a little bit of an ick factor. Ooh, but remember, you already like these guys. You like them. You're rooting for them. You want them to be happy and successful. What happens the next time you see this? Maybe next time it's a billboard, or you read about it, or you see another, or you see a replay of it. The more and more and more you see it, you know what? The ick factor recedes and recedes to where you are being desensitized. And that is a very key thing, because what are you being what does that mean? You're losing the effectiveness of your conscience. Your alarm system isn't working anymore.
Yeah, and so it does affect so many of us in so many ways. And, of course, the media doesn't want to talk about that. The media is not going to get into your spiritual, your conscience. Everything's political. It's about rights and these political-type words. So this is fascinating. We're talking to David Capellian, author of his most recent book is How Evil Works. His previous one is The Marketing of Evil. Dave is managing editor of WorldNetDaily.com. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everybody. Back again. It's part two of our interview with David Capelli, and I'm Pete LaBarber, president of AmericansForTruth.org, and is our website, AFTA.org. We're talking to David Capelli, who, as when this interview airs, he will have just completed a fabulous speech at the Americans for Truth Academy, co-sponsored with Mission America in Columbus, Ohio. You can order CDs or DVDs or both of the entire conference. Just send us an email to AmericansForTruth@gmail.com. Go to the website, AmericansForTruth.org. We'll have complete CD sets and DVD sets of the entire conference, which had, I'm pre-taping here, some other wonderful speakers, including Matt Barber, Professor Rena Lindewaldson, Professor Rob Gagnon, Linda Harvey, who is the president of Mission America, who's my friend, co-sponsoring it. And you'll want to get these tapes, and you'll want to teach with this, as I said, buying David's books. Now, this Hunter Manson thing, David, is so fascinating. Of course, this is not the only reason that the homosexual movement is where it's at, but this is part of the reason. They've been very clever at marketing, and they want you to get to know those Glee characters. They want you to like those Glee characters. Their whole shtick has been come out wherever you are. Which is a form of manipulation, which I'd like you to talk about. You know, the fact that a friend or a sister or a son or an uncle, quote, comes out, and there's the corruption of the language again, because they're in their book, it's coming out into truth, out of the deep, dark closet of deception into the light of truth. When in reality, from a spiritual perspective, let's face it, it's the exact opposite. If you have a sin, and we all have besetting sins, but if you decide you're going to positively embrace the sin and tell others about it and expect them to accept you in your embrace of sin, that's not spiritual truth. That's spiritual darkness. So talk about this emotionally manipulative strategy of the personalization of homosexuality.
Well, just in terms, you know, you said coming out, everybody who comes out, quote unquote, is a son or daughter or friend or father or, you know, brother, sister of other people. So what is the effect on those people? One that comes to mind is Dick Cheney. I like Dick Cheney, okay? I think he's a stand-up guy. I like having adults running the country. he has a daughter who is a lesbian. And even though he has really thoroughly conservative views pretty much across the board on most issues, on this one, he has come out and said he is fine with gay marriage because he looks at, he looks at his daughter and he does not want to deny her a right, a privilege that other people have. I used to be friends with Itzhak Perlman, the famous violinist, because I was a violinist when I was a young man and I spent 4 summers at the same sort of elite music school in upstate New York where he was. Just a wonderful guy, but I noticed recently he did a commercial opposing Proposition 8 because he has 5 children and one of them is a lesbian daughter. And he's saying, why do we want to, you know, prevent my daughter? And his daughter is married to another lesbian, okay? So he's saying, well, you know, appealing, looking, you know me from, you know, my music, but my proudest achievement is my family, 5 extraordinary children. One of them is gay and is married to a wonderful woman. And essentially he says, why do you want to, like, change the way things are so that my daughter cannot be married and so forth? And it's a purely emotional appeal. What's lost in it is all the talk, all the effect on civilization of redefining marriage and all the confusion that goes on. It's just strictly, oh, it's like Perlman. I like him. He's a great fiddler. Why do I want to hurt his daughter's feelings? But if we're operating on the basis of feelings, okay, the truth is that lots of times truth hurts, okay, and lies make us feel good. So if we're going to go just on the basis of feelings, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. And so this same factor that I mentioned with Cheney and with Itzhak Perlman, Yeah, people that are really charming, good conservative people like Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who somehow I admire her for being able to handle the other three screaming wenches on the. Sorry if that sounds sexist, but they just—they're insane on the View, and I admire the fact that she, you know, gets in there and mixes it up with them and stands up, makes some, you know, good points and stands up for what's right as best she can. She has come out in favor of same-sex marriage. Here's somebody who's making a lot of money, works in Midtown Manhattan, and is surrounded by gay people, producers. I mean, look, honestly, let's be honest. Half the people in New York City, I think, are gay. That, I know that's an exaggeration, but I'm just making a point. If you are working there, if you're a Glenn Beck, who also has said basically he doesn't deal with the issue, if you're working...
The issue of gay marriage, he's...
Yeah. You are going to have a gay producer or somebody that is important to you, either important professionally or important personally, and it's a difficult thing, Pete. It's a difficult thing to go and look that person in the eye and say, look, I love you. I appreciate what you do. I disagree with your lifestyle, and that's why I cannot support, you know, such and such. Okay, it takes a certain amount of clarity and confidence, and maybe a little backbone. And
it takes some fortitude, and it takes some the will and the application of your mind to this problem. But I guess people take the easy way out and they say, okay.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason. I think what we're talking about is a very core reason, and then the supposed reasons. Like, well, I think they're born that way, and the gay gene. I think everybody knows there's not a shred of evidence for this, okay? Because if there were, if it really were proven, it would be the argument, and there would be no other argument, and they would need no other argument, because if it truly is genetic from God, there really is, there's no basis to have all this. I mean, they have a strong argument that you cannot have discrimination, quote-unquote, against us. But, of course, there's not. God does not just go and create homosexuals. It's caused by a trauma conditioning of some sort. And psychiatry used to know that a generation or two ago. They actually used to know it until they got intimidated into taking it out of the diagnostic manual in, whatever, 1973, because all these professional organizations, American Psychiatric and American Psychological Association, they're all basically political at the very top level. They've all been taken over. And I can tell you that the professionals down the line don't necessarily agree with it. But the people that make the policy, they've sold out for the
Absolutely.
Same reason as everybody else. They're scared. They're intimidated. They don't want to be called haters.
Yeah, and it works in the corporate world as well. I remember a story of a Kodak exec, you know, that everybody knew this executive who announced that she was a lesbian, and the policy went further pro-homosexual. But we got 4 minutes till the break, and then we only have one more segment after that. Let's talk about this desensitization and conversion, two other points in the Kirk and Manson marketing plan for homosexuality. Let me read you from desensitization. They wanted to, quote, seek desensitization and nothing more. This is about homosexuality. If you can get straights to think homosexuality is just another thing, meriting no more than a shrug of the shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. This plan, and this is in your book, the plan hegemony the writer is talking about, quoting from Kirk and Manson, is not a raw, overt coercion. It is one group's covert orchestration of compliance by another group through structuring the consciousness of the second group. And you emphasize structuring the consciousness. It's just, it's incredible, but it has worked.
Yeah, this sounds like Chinese brainwashing tactics, which is no joke. Basically, you know, they talk about desensitization, jamming, conversion, and in a nutshell, the desensitization softens them up, okay? And it's good enough for most people. But most people are just too confused from going to public school and listening to the media and watching the kind of movies that are put out for a generation or two, that if you just, you know, if you desensitize them and put a little pressure on them, they shut up. For those who are a little more stalwart and don't get the memo, they speak up and say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. they get jammed, which is just they're intimidated. They're they're boycotted. They're any way to intimidate them into shutting up. And ultimately, conversion means you remove all of the negative associations with homosexuality and you replace them with positive associations. This is what all the propaganda and the movies always the beautiful, handsome gay character, and the Christian is always a drooling extra X chromosome idiot. And you have that for long enough, and basically you're always seeing gay as good and Christian as bad, and then you're converted.
Yeah, let me read from your book, Kirk and Manson. We mean conversion of the – this is the last one you said, conversion. We mean conversion of the average American's emotion, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. We mean subverting – they have that in quotes – the mechanism of prejudice to our own ends – using the very processes that made America hate us to turn their hatred into warm regard, whether they like it or not. It's quite Machiavellian, and you get to the point now where if the average person, that's why it's so important for them to attach the hate label to people like me, and we don't hate homosexuals. We oppose homosexual behavior, and we always will, but we don't hate people, but they want us to attach that word, hate, to us. For the final conversion of for the average Joe out there who used to be mad at one point would have been mad at homosexuality. Now he's going to be mad at the critics of homosexuality.
Right. And who wants to be hated? And even worse, who wants to be accused of being a hater and being a bigot? That's a low thing. To be an anti-Semite or to be a hardcore racist. That those people deserve to be shunned and ostracized. Okay. And so, most people, they don't have the stomach to be labeled that way, whether it's true or not. And so they just say, okay, I'm not going to deal with this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is inborn. They have to sleep at night. They don't want to see themselves as caving. So they say, well, maybe it is. That's just the way they are. So I'll just leave them alone, live and let live. And then we lose our civilization.
Right. But that is a form of moral cowardice. I mean, we have issues before us, and there are truth issues that we have to deal with.
You're telling me.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing story, and this is an amazing book, The Marketing of Evil by David Kapelian. We have one more segment with him, and then we have part three next week, talking to David Kapelian of WorldNet Daily. The website is WND.com. We'll be right back. Back, everybody. This is the American for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarber, president of Americans for Truth about Homosexuality. Our website is AFTA, A-F-T-A-H, or Americans for Truth, all written out, F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.com. We are talking to David Kapelian, who is our keynote speaker at the Truth Academy, which hasn't happened as I'm taping this, but will it have happened by the time this airs? And you can get the whole CD sets or DVD sets of the conference at AmericansForTruth.org. Okay, David, I need some good news here because this is all pretty depressing to see that this movement, which was once taboo, in fact, I'm holding in my hand a copy of One Magazine. It's a newsletter, actually the first. It could be the very first newsletter. I'm not sure, but I think it's pretty close to the first homosexual activist newsletter. It's called One, the Homosexual Magazine. The current issue I have here in my hands is January 1956. This was a little movement. It's sort of like NARAL on the abortion side. NARAL was once a little leftist, a pro-abortion organization. Then it grew to be this powerhouse, right? I mean, so. What is the answer? You said last week, I think it's getting back to principle. We have to get back to the fact that we're talking about behavior.
Of course, but look, Pete, we've been talking about, the old saying is the glass half empty or half full. We've been talking about the half empty part, okay? Well, I mean, the glass is half full. I think that half of Americans are still actually normal and sane. These are people that, they went and they fought and bled and sometimes died on foreign shores for what? I guarantee it was not so we could have LGBT, brainwashing of kindergartners.
Right.
The military is basically a conservative Christian organization. Think about it. That is what it is. And their votes bear that out. But the point is we have a lot of people. I was referring to, veterans and their families, but there are many people in America, I know because I get emails from thousands of them every month, saying that, you know, we're still out here. We have not drunk the Kool-Aid. We saw the November election that was, you know, in the Tea Party movement. There are a lot of awake people in this country, and the craziness that's going on in Washington is sort of waking up more people. So, I don't want to give in to defeat. You look at virtually every state that where the people get to actually vote on same-sex marriage, they turn it down. Didn't it just get defeated in Maryland?
Yeah, same-sex marriage bill, which was expected to win, got defeated when the people
Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. This is to the left of Trotsky. This is Maryland is where all the civil servants that do work in for the federal government live. They live in Northern Virginia or in suburban Maryland, and so these are people that are dependent on government. It's a very liberal area. Montgomery County, where I grew up, is one of the most liberal counties. Hey, Maryland voted against same-sex marriage, so. You know, despite what the media say, and even some of the conservative media that are just kind of too freaked out about the issue, and all the noise that's made by the gay activists, normal Americans out there, you know, the ones that go and vote at the polls, they're not necessarily buying this. So I think there's a lot of life left in America. So I'm not giving up here at all.
And do you see the politicians leading the way? I mean, it would be nice if there was a politician. I was happy to see Tim Pawlenty. I'm not supporting him yet or anything like that, but I was happy to see when asked the question about the military, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or the ban on homosexuals in the military, that he said he would at least reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which isn't exactly the law of the land. But it was good to see him not shying away, as some in the Republican Party have.
Yeah, I don't know of the numbers. Obviously, you have people, McCain and others, made a big deal about saying that this is a bad idea. Anybody who's really from a military background who hasn't since had his, you know, brain scooped out and become like a total liberal, there are some of those. But for the most part, people from a traditionalist military background, they know this is a bad thing. Okay, for many more reasons than even you and I talk about. There are sort of unintended consequences that they can project because they've been in the military. They've lived in close quarters for years, and they know this is not a place where you want to just sort of go and have some crazy social experiment while we're out trying to fight psychopaths and win wars. You have the politicians in Washington, some of whom are real fighters and are good people, and they will fight for these issues. But honestly, there's only so much they can do because they are fighting, you know, a crazy economy and a really maniacal administration right now that's completely lawless and reckless. I mean, that's the truth about the Obama administration. They have no regard for the law, no regard for the Constitution. They just will get away with whatever they can get away with. So there's a lot of fronts that they have to fight, you know, battle fronts. So whether they're going to deal effectively with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I don't really know. But I'll tell you that we need to reelect. You know, we need to elect a grown-up, okay, with sane values in 2012. We need to keep pushing on the political front because that's one core place where we can fight. But the states are also very important. The states can do things that the federal government can't or won't do, and a lot of states are now trying to nullify Obamacare. They're fighting against. They're saying we're going to make gold and silver legal tender in our state, like Utah did, and Virginia's doing something like that. Many states, 8 states, have passed laws signed by the governor saying your crazy federal gun laws do not apply in our state. And there are a bunch of other states that are trying to, do the same thing. And so there's a feistiness out there among the states right now, and that are really geared toward limited government and traditional values. So I don't see any initiatives yet that are dealing with the homosexual issue, but there could be.
Right. Now talk about, we got 2.5 minutes left, David. Talk about, how old are you?
I'm almost 62.
Okay, so you're getting up there.
Yeah.
Talk about the young people. Do you think much about, obviously for this movement especially, this particular issue, the polls show that kids, people under, well, let's just say people under 40, I don't know the exact figure is, but they're more pro-life and they're more pro-homosexual at the same time. What do you have to say to them, or what are your thoughts about that? Because obviously the quote, gay movement is banking everything on these converted kids.
Yeah. The pro-life, you know, the victim is easier to see. You have a dead body every time there's an abortion, and often you have a scarred mother. I'd say always you have a scarred mother. With the homosexual issue, you have to actually think about it more. Kids, God bless them, they are smart, they're idealistic, but they lack experience. And, they're going to have to actually think it through. It's just like understanding the economy. You can't just emotionally understand the economy. You have to think through cause and effect. If I do this, this happens, and then this happens, and this happens, and pretty soon you say, oh my gosh, I'm like destroying the economy if I do something that I thought was good. You have to think about it. And so I would urge them, frankly, if it doesn't sound self-serving, to read The Marketing of Evil, read the first chapter, because I tell you what, it's actually pretty gentle. It's obviously not homophobic or hating. But you read that, if you have a sane bone in your body, you see, oh my God, there really is a terrible price to pay for normalizing homosexuality in the way that the gay rights lobby wants to do. And I think it helps to have somebody kind of lay it out in a logical sequence, and you read it and you say, I don't want that. I don't want to end there. I believe there are a lot of gay people that also don't want to see it. They're not even for gay marriage. They're not for demonizing Christianity, because they realize that, you know what? I have it really good here in America. I could be in one of these Arab Muslim countries where they throw gay people off a cliff.
Right, right.
And so what is it that is the foundation of America? It's Christianity. That's why a lot of good Jewish friends of mine, like Don Feder and Rabbi Daniel.
10 seconds, David.
They know that Christianity has to be, has to be the strong force in America, because it's what makes America what it is.
Absolutely. We'll talk with David Kapelian next week, part 3. God bless.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.